relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Seen things you people wouldn't believe.
You want to talk to God? Let's go see him together.
One night as I lay in my tent with this head of mine, a terrible thought crept like a snake into my brain. Hunting was beginning to bore me.
Is that such a terrible thought, Count?
It is, my dear lady, when hunting has been the whip for all other passions. When I lost my love of hunting, I lost my love of life. Of love. I even tried to sink myself to the level of the savage. I made myself perfect in the use of the Tartar war bow. That one up there. But alas, even that was too deadly. What I needed was not a new weapon, but a new animal.
Count Zaroff, in search of a new prey, a new animal to hunt. It is based on what is allegedly the most popular short story in American literary history, and it became a movie that would be remade many, many times over and influence so many other films as well. We are talking, of course, of 1932's The Most Dangerous Game. A little bit early for our choice of movies to make great again. Chris Coles, my co-host, the host of the Mr. Reagan and Alpha Critic channels on YouTube. Had you seen The Most Dangerous Game before I chose it for this week's movie choice?
No, I hadn't. However, I had read the short story. And this is certainly an iconic story. It's a legendary story. It's a short story that is taught in schools. It's one of the few things that was taught to me in school that I didn't think was lame. We were forced to read this in school. You know, most things in school, I was a little bit of a rebel. I didn't like doing what the teacher wanted me to do. But this particular story kind of changed something in my brain about how I thought about writing. And I think that happened for a lot of people who read this short story. Now, before this story, there was a guy called O. Henry. And I think O. Henry is really underrated as an author in the current age. He's sort of like the first ever Twilight Zone writer. You know, he would write these brilliant twist endings. And this film doesn't so much have a brilliant twist ending, but it has a really novel idea. And it's such a novel idea that it was really inspiring and really... It really influenced a lot of other authors that came after it. And this film, I think, encapsulates this story maybe better than any of the others that came to follow it, because it really followed the short story accurately. And despite the fact that there is this distance between us and the time that this was shot, and maybe people will find this a little bit, a little bit stiff, a little bit difficult to, believe. You know, the way that people speak is very different back then. They may think the acting is a little bit poor compared to maybe slightly later films. But you know what? Once you get into it, it's one of those things like reading Shakespeare. Once you get into it, it becomes really, really easy to follow and really, really enjoyable. And I think they did an excellent job with this picture.
So let's talk about the genesis of it. This short story, The Most Dangerous Game by Richard Connell, 1924, was published in the National Weekly Colliers. Then it takes quite some time for it to turn into a movie made by the same people. In fact, four of the actors in this movie reappear a year later in King Kong. And many of the sets from King Kong of the Jungle are, in fact, sets from The Most Dangerous Game. Here we just have some colorized images because this movie is available in the original black and white and colorized as well. But it's a fabulous short story. You can read the short story in an hour. The film is barely longer than an hour, which I don't find shocking. I mean, in the age of, you know, interminable Marvel movies that go on and on and on, having a 68-minute movie is a lot of fun. But let's look at some of the posters I found for the original, because this was before the Hays Code. This was before censorship. Beautiful artistry. There you have the villain of the piece, Count Zaroff, played by the rather melodramatic Leslie Banks, of course, a theater actor who brings his theater style to the stage. But look at this, Chris. This poster, this is the shocking conceit of the story, that the most dangerous game is man, and Count Zaroff is hunting human beings who he has forced to shipwreck on his island. And there on the poster, you had the heads from his trophy room of the humans, the guests that he hunted on his island. So I don't know about you, Chris, but I'm thinking, you know, this is pretty shocking for 1932 when you walk into the trophy room and they're human heads. That's a very modern kind of horror moment, isn't it?
I'll be honest. Seeing those heads kind of freaked me out in 2024, even. and look, you know, this was classified as a horror film back in the day, which I thought was really strange. Like, I'm reading about this film after watching it because I just found it so evocative. And reading about it as a horror film, I thought, oh, that's funny, because I don't think we would classify it as a horror film today. I think we would classify it as an adventure film, or, you know, there is something very suspenseful and very very scary about the idea of this guy, because this is an idea that had never been proposed before, I don't think. We've seen many incarnations of this since. You know, we've seen The Hunger Games is probably the most popular example, but there's several incarnations of this idea that somebody is hunting another human being for sport. But this was really the first incarnation of it. And I think the first time seeing it on the big screen, I think was truly horrifying to our audiences.
Let's have a little clip from the beginning of the movie before they are shipwrecked on the boat that has been lured into the shoals by the fake warning lights. Here we have our hero on the ship that's about to be wrecked.
I was thinking of the inconsistency of civilization. The beast of the jungle, killing just for his existence, is called savage. The man, killing just for sport, is called civilized.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit contradictory, isn't it?
Now, just a minute. What makes you think it isn't just as much sport for the animal as it is for the man? Now, take that fellow right there, for instance. There never was a time when he couldn't have gotten away. He didn't want to. He got interested in hunting me. He didn't hate me for stalking him any more than I hated him for trying to charge me. As a matter of fact, we admired each other.
Perhaps. But would you change places with the tiger?
Well, not now.
So here's the interesting balance. It's definitely the 1930s. The music, the clothes, the dialogue, the way the dialogue is delivered. But nevertheless, on the sets, I mean, the sets could be straight out of Dracula, right? But nevertheless, it's that central conceit that now we found a man who's bored with life, so he's going to hunt his fellow man. The originality kind of negates the issues with this being a film from the 30s, at least for me. What about you?
Well, like I said, I think there's been so many incarnations of this idea that there is a certain percentage of the audience who will say, okay, we've seen this before. But you're absolutely right, especially if you pay attention to the fact, or if you are conscious of the fact that this is really the first time this concept has appeared on in cinema. And, you know, it is an interesting idea, but I do think that they took great care to treat the material, you know, with delicacy. They treated it professionally. I mean, this is a really well-made film. It made a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, it was a powerful film at the time. And I think there's a reason. Like many of the films that we cover on this program, they did a really good job. And you can see it, even if they don't have the technology at the time that we had when they developed Star Wars, or today with the computer-generated graphics, you can tell that they took care to make this film as good as they possibly could. The performances are excellent, and, you know, the sets are great. You know, it's just a great film. And the Damsel in Distress is obviously just as wonderful as she was in King Kong.
We'll talk about Faye Ray. It's the same woman, right? Slightly different color hair in this movie a year before King Kong. We're talking The Most Dangerous Game, iconic 1932, with our co-host Chris Coles. He of the Mr. Reagan and Alpha Critic channel. Subscribe right now. He's been producing content like crazy, superb content. Give him a follow also on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. And if you enjoy Making Movies Great Again, if you enjoy the third hour of the show, make sure you're subscribed on whichever podcast platform you prefer. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends. And we've got less than 8 months to go. If you want prosperity and safety back in America, support President Trump. Our latest celebration is the 9-0 hoodie. Get yours today. So much more, including all of my books at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. And you can support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do: a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. Dear friends, have you heard of a brave young man called Liam who went to the Middlebury School of Massachusetts? Well, you should have. Why? Because he's fighting all the way to the Supreme Court for all of our freedom of speech rights and our civil liberties. He went to school one day with a T-shirt that said there are only two genders. The Middlebury School in Massachusetts punished him for expressing the truth. What did he do? He didn't give up. He appealed that decision. He went to an amazing organization called the Massachusetts Family Institute and our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, and they are suing the town of Middlebury all the way to the highest court in the land. How are they doing that? That's really expensive, isn't it? Well, because ADF enjoys the support of real patriots who stand by young boys like Liam. Whether it's Jack the Cake Baker, whether it's Liam or anybody else who's being persecuted for their religious beliefs, ADF is there. They don't charge their clients a penny, and they've already won more than 10 cases in the Supreme Court. Will you support today the people who help Liam and others fight for all of our freedoms? Be generous. Your deduction, your donation is tax deductible. You can go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Stand with ADF banner, or call in your donation to 855-374-4767. That number, 855-374-4767. If you stand with Liam and everyone who believes that there are only two genders and that we should have freedom of conscience and religion in America, go right now to S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Alliance Defending Freedom. As we noted, she would become an absolute icon of the ages as the damsel in distress in the maw of that giant gorilla, the one and only Faye Ray, who a year before
was the damsel who had to be saved by the hunter who becomes the prey. Here's a little clip as she's warning the new guest of what's going on.
Keep your voice low and listen. It isn't true about the launch needing repairs. I heard it leave the boathouse last night. It returned this morning.
You mean he's keeping you from returning to the mainland?
Yes.
Well, perhaps he enjoys the company of two very charming people.
Two, maybe. There were four of us a week ago. The other two have disappeared.
What do you mean?
One night after dinner, the Count took one of our sailors down to see his trophy room. At the foot of those stone steps.
That iron door?
Yes. Two nights later, he took the other there. Neither have been seen since.
They haven't been seen since. Chris, you're an actor. You're a writer. Let's be kind here. The other actors, even Joel McRae, who plays Rainsford, it's a little bit stiff. Of course, the Count Zaroff is a stage actor, clearly, a little bit melodramatic. But I give props to Faye Ray. Faye Ray is perhaps the best performance of the movie. Do you agree?
Well, you know, she's just got an effortless charisma. There are some actors who are just like that. It's not just actors. Human beings, you know, there are some human beings. And there's a nice particular actress out there in Hollywood. And, you know, I think she became a star for a reason. Certain actors become stars just because they're charismatic. I think it's something that you're born with. I don't think it's something that you can learn. And it's effervescent on the screen, I would say.
There's an effortlessness to it. And also, I don't know about you, Chris. I'm not a prude, but she spends half the movie in very, very diaphanous, thin, thin dresses. And when they're running through the jungle and falling in the rivers, it may be 1932, but this is a flipping racy movie, at least for my old eyes. How about you? Are you surprised by how racy this was?
I was actually the thing that was really shocking to me, and I don't remember this from the book, and maybe I didn't catch it, or maybe they added it for the film. There was an added level of danger, an added level of suspense, which was the reward.
Let's explain this. Do we have a cut here? Is there a cut relevant to this, Eric, when he talks about what happens after the hunt, or do we have to just summarize it?
Just summarize it.
Okay, so this thing, I remember, I love this movie. It's been a classic for me for ages. But I too forgot this this thing that is repeated again and again by the Count, where he basically says, sex isn't sex unless you're having sex with a woman after you've killed in the hunt, right? That's the ultimate form of, ambrosia of the gods. And it's not mentioned once. It's mentioned twice. It's mentioned thrice. Again, pretty flipping racy, Chris.
Well, it's not just that. At one point he says, what will be the reward for the winner of the hunt?
Yeah.
The reward will be what I was just talking about. Basically, whoever it is will get to have this woman after the hunt, because that is obviously the best sex that you can have. Now, this would obviously have been against this woman's will. Maybe not if it had been the hero, but this is what this is the stakes. These are the stakes of the film. You can't, I mean, in terms of like a man who cares about a woman and feels like he has a duty to her, you can't really get higher stakes than this. She's going to be ravaged by this sort of nefarious character. Okay, so he's got to protect her not only from, you know, this guy's bullets and arrows, but he's got to protect her from being attacked, sexually by this guy by the end of the film. And they don't say it explicitly, but it is absolutely clear in the film that this is what will happen if he does not succeed. And it almost does. He calls her down from upstairs at the end, just before the conclusion of the film. So it's really like a last second thing that the hero appears there to take care of business. But I think that despite the fact that it's pre-code, of course, despite the fact that it's this old film and, things weren't quite as racy back then, you know, it adds such a level of intensity to the film that I think people must have absolutely loved this picture at that time.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the reasons that it became repeated so often. I mean, there's even a version with Rutger Hauer. They even made a TV show out of this a few years ago. So The Most Dangerous Game had a massive influence as a story originally. And then we'll talk about the elements of the movie that you will find again and again in other films, from Predator, you know, to Rambo. We'll talk about that as well. We're Making Movies Great Again with our good buddy. Follow him on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. And if an hour of movie reviews a week is not enough, or 15 hours of radio in general, why not join us this July 4th for our Patriots Alaska cruise? I'm especially talking to all of you who missed our trip to Israel a year ago. We took 350 of our listeners there. It was incredible. If you want to hang out with Patriots and have a good time, this time it's a little bit closer to home. Check out the itinerary for our cruise to the most beautiful state of the Union. Book your cabin today. 230 already gone, so hurry. You can make a deposit right now. You don't have to pay for the whole trip. Hang out with other Patriots who love this nation as much as you do. June 29th to July 6th. Go to sebgorka.com and click on the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. And don't forget, while you're online, give me a follow as well, not just Chris. I'm on all the social media platforms that matter. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka. Check out my latest article on Substack at sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. If you enjoy what we do here as much as we love providing it to you, please support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. The left wants to cancel him. We can't have that. Support him. He isn't just the inventor of the My Pillow, of which he sold 81 million because they are simply that good. He also has 200 plus other items on his website. Made by Americans here in America for you. Buy American. Don't buy that Chinese garbage on Amazon. Use my name for up to 66% off and free shipping. Is there a better deal out there? I don't think so. All right, call today. Talk to a human being. How nice is that? 800-829-8468. Promo code Gorka. That's 800-829-8468. Or just go to mypillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. So many influences on other movies. All the horror movies, the Hammer movies, The Castle, The Staircase, and of course, Ivan. Just like Igor. Let's have a little tete-a-tete between the Count and his manservant.
Ivan does not speak any language. He has the misfortune to be dumb.
Oh, hello. Are you the owner here?
Yes. Welcome to my poor fortress.
Fortress?
It once was, built by the Portuguese centuries ago. I have had the ruins restored to make my home here. I am Count Zaroff.
My name's Robert Rainsford. Glad to meet you. Very glad.
Yeah. Ivan is a Cossack. I am afraid, like all my fellow countrymen, he is a bit of a savage. Smile, Ivan. Ulidnis!
Smile, Ivan. I just love the fact that he's supposed to be a Russian count, and every word of Russian that comes out of the actor's mouth, Leslie Banks, is made up garbage. It's just gobbledygook. It's just blah, 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 blah. There's not one Slav word in anything he says. He literally just makes up, throws in a couple of consonants and the odd vowel, and none of it is real. But hey, he is a menacing character, is he not? Quite the antagonist.
Yeah, it's amazing what you could get away with back then. he is absolutely fantastic. He's such a character. And again, this is one of those characters that has become a caricature because he did it so well. There were many villains that came after him that were sort of based on this character. And so now it seems a little bit caricature-y, but I think this was a sort of early rendition of this kind of character. But, you know, having a villain like this, having a villain who is, you know, has this... you know, incredible sort of like laser focus on this one idea of what he wants to do, and having the single hero have to stop him and have the damsel in distress. This is such a simple, elegant story. It's a timeless story. It's something, as you said, that influenced countless other pictures. And I think it's something that maybe they are starting to lose in Hollywood. You know, if they did this film today, the woman would, of course, be the hero, and yeah, the gentleman would be the damsel in distress. She'd, of course, be a lesbian. They keep changing things up. And I do believe that there is something in human nature, and I've talked about this before on the show, there's something in human nature that a man wants to protect a woman, and a woman wants to be protected by a man. So when you flip those roles, it never really works. No man wants a woman to save him from a physical danger. And women don't really get a satisfaction from that. They may think it's kind of cool, but I don't think you can do that film after film after film and have that be satisfying for audiences. I think most women still want to be saved.
Well, and if you think about when they reverse it, you know, the 80-pound woman, you know, beats up the 300-pound antagonist and saves her boyfriend, you think, how does that make the guy feel? I mean, what man doesn't feel like a loser for the rest of his stinking life if he's not the one protecting his girlfriend? It's like, do they even think of the consequences of what they're doing, Chris, to the audience?
No, because, you know, they live in a fantasy version of reality. There's two realities in America right now. I texted you this the other day. It's the difference between acknowledging the ugly truth and hiding within the beautiful lie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that prefer to live within this beautiful lie. And I say it's a beautiful lie because in their mind, it is beautiful. The idea that like you said, an 80-pound woman could knock out a 200-pound man. It just can't happen. I mean, you know, people get these delusions in their head and they think it is possible, but really you just can't. I mean, I've seen a clip of who was it? Serena Williams was asked on a late night show, will you ever play tennis against, I don't know who it was, Andy Roddick or something like this, one of these tennis players. Would you ever play tennis against them, you know, just to show what you can do? And she goes, no, of course not. And they go, why wouldn't you? And she goes, because he would destroy me. She's like, listen, even though I am the best female tennis player in the world, all these are professional male tennis players. They are stronger. They are faster. He will destroy me. You don't understand. Like, people get these ideas in their head, but if you are actually at that level, then you really know. You know, some people have to live in reality. They have to face the ugly truths of reality, and other people get to hide in their comforter, you put their head under the pillow and sleep another 10 hours.
Well, you know, I think it actually happened. I think the Serena sisters did a challenge match with some high school, you know, ranked male tennis players, and they beat them. You know, the 16-year-old, 17-year-old.
You mean the high school age boys?
Yeah, the high school age boys beat the best female adult ranked tennis players. Because I'm sorry, you know, truth is, you know, gravity has a certain quality all of itself, and so does testosterone and muscle mass. So, yeah, I mean, the beautiful lie will also always fail to the ugly truth. We're making movies great again. Coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor is liberating over a million Americans right now from their daily pain. I just happen to be one of them. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 9 years, almost a decade, nothing I did worked. And I wasn't going to take just, you know, painkillers and be addicted to them for 10 years. So I took Relief Factor, natural anti-inflammatories like resveratrol and curcumin. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free as of January, 5 years later. I want that to be you. Find out today. There's only one way. It's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee. By the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me and over a million of your fellow Americans. Do it today. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF, relieffactor.com. That's 1-800-473-5433, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you will ever sleep on. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size for $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the My Pillow Company continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their products. To get those specials, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
What's the big idea? I thought that perhaps tonight you would like to see my trophy room.
Your trophy room?
I'm sure you will find it most interesting.
Say, that's a great idea. Oh, now we're pals. No more secrets now, huh? We'll make a night of it.
I hope so, Mr. Trowbridge.
It's just you and I, pals. We'll have fun together, huh?
Precisely, yes. Fun together.
Ah, boy, Connie, oh boy, Connie.
That is Eve's brother, Martin Trowbridge, being taken to his death in the trophy room of the Count, who's about to hunt him down and put his head on a spike in his trophy room. For me, Chris, this is the only weak point in the movie. This actor, who kind of shockingly comes back a year later to play Carl Denham, the great hunter and movie maker from King Kong, his character is just... yeah, the Count's over the top, a little bit melodramatic, but this sot, this drunk, it's like something out of, you know, the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, no, it was supposed to be the comic relief character, and comedy is very culturally specific. So, you know, it's very, very hard for that to translate. It's like, you know, sometimes I will speak to, especially like Russian girls. If I'm hanging out with a Russian girl talking about comedy, she always says, American comedy is terrible. Russian comedy, much better, right? And I'll watch some of the Russian comedians and I'll understand the jokes. You know, I'll see the subtitles. I'll understand the jokes. I understand where they're going with it. And I understand how a joke works. You know, I understand how, you know, how to construct a joke. And I tell the girl, I go, you know, this is very similar to American comedy, actually. The problem is that you don't get the references, right? Like if I make a joke about Nesquik, you know, they're probably not going to understand that over there. If I'm going to make a joke about Twinkies, okay, maybe they'll understand because it's such a big cultural, but you know what I mean? Like certain brands that only exist in America, you're not going to understand over there. Very specific things we're not going to get. And also just, you can reference another comedian or something else that was funny that happened the year before in a mannerism, in a gesture. You know, you don't have to say the words and people will understand it. That's how subtle comedy can be. And so what this guy's doing probably was actually very good for the time, probably was very funny. But yeah, you're right. It's lost on a modern audience. He's annoying is what he is. And actually, I kind of understand the Count's desire to kill him.
Well, there's this whole scene where, you know, the Count is prattling on about something, and every 30 seconds they shift back to Martin, and he's drinking, and he's like getting further back in the couch, and then eventually he's lying down with the drink on his chest, and it's just, it's like a pratfall. It's like slapstick comedy, you know, thinking, this is a movie about hunting human beings, but you're right, the sot, you know, the guy in the blazer and the baggy pants from the club who's a drunkard, that's a character. That's a 1930s standard character, so it's very contextually based. All right, let's talk a little bit before we run out of time. The influences of this movie. For me, so many things, whether it's Ivan who becomes Igor, you know, in the Frankenstein movies and Hammer and everything else. Then when you see the hounds being unleashed, each one of these made me think of the Hound of the Baskervilles and Sherlock Holmes that would be made later with that amazing Basil Rathbone movie. Or when they're running through the jungle and he makes the trap of the punji stick. Oh my gosh, Eric, how did you do that? You're actually playing it right now. I mean, this is straight straight out of Rambo First Blood, you know, as you've got John Rambo sharpening the punji sticks, the sheriff's guys come after him, they get impaled on that. And then, of course, the 300-pound deadfall trap that he tries to kill the Count with. Well, that's Predator. I mean, that's exactly, you know, that's the trap Arnie makes in Predator. So whether it's Predator, Rambo, the Hound of the Baskervilles, or as they're running from the dogs, I don't know, I'm not a cinema historian, but there's a moment where there's a POV shot, the point of view shot of them, the hero and the squeeze, the heroine, running through the jungle, and it's just the camera pushing the palm trees out of the way. That is so modern, that POV shot. So not just a cracking good story based upon a cracking good short story, but also, I would say, Chris, a rather influential piece of cinematography.
Yeah, there was some very experimental stuff going on there. I noticed exactly what you're talking about, the POV shot. I don't want to spoil the ending, really, because I want everybody to watch this movie. I will. Because I do think this is an underrated film. It's a film that I've never seen. I didn't even know it existed until you brought it up the other day. So I was like, okay, this is fantastic. I love the short story. Let's watch the film. And so I do want people to watch it. But at the end, I'll give you 2 points. The first point is that Count Zaroff, Count Zaroff, he gets stabbed in the back toward the end, and he's dying, right? And they make their escape. He's not quite dead, and he aims his arrow, but the pain is too great, and he can't hold the arrow up. If only he had relief factor, then maybe he would have been able to get a clean shot off. No, sorry. Okay, that was just, I was a little being a little silly.
We don't give relief factors to antagonists, only to heroes.
That's true. But in the end, he can't shoot the bow and arrow, and he slowly falls out of the castle. But he doesn't just fall out of the castle. He falls out of the castle into the pit where his dogs stay. And it's implied that the dogs devour him, which is quite a horrific way for the villain to end. And I think, especially for the time, it was probably quite impactful to the audience. Even to me, I was like, holy smokes, you know, this is pretty crazy. Really an underrated film. Everybody should see it. And everybody should see all the other films that I think are related to this. All this old stuff I think is really great. Like I said, the O. Henry stories that came before. There's even a film of O. Henry vignettes. I forget what it's called. But I can't remember what it's called. But that's the first introduction I had to O. Henry. I was watching old movies.
Wow.
Oh, and I love this. We're looking at the log that they climb over
the log, which we will see again in King Kong a year later, exactly the same log.
So iconic. So iconic. Like I saw it, I was like, oh man, that's exactly the log from King Kong. I was like, that they reused that set. Clearly they did.
They,
but just a fun film, and I think everybody should watch it.
All right, guys, it is The Most Dangerous Game with Count Zaroff hunting down his new prey, Rainsford, who is trying to rescue Eve, the one and only Fay Wray, with a climax that is rather iconic and very influential. We'll make notes on that in a moment. But first things first, are you part of the team that's going to save America? You don't have to have an amazing YouTube channel or two or a national radio show. Simply, if you have a cell phone, you can be part of the movement to save America. Why? Because if you are connected to one of the big cell phone providers, you know who they are, you're actually funding the left. I'm not exaggerating. The big cell phone providers give millions of dollars of your profits to every year to organizations like Planned Parenthood, gun control organizations, and foundations that are trying to cancel and censor conservatives. Don't fund your enemies. Join the only conservative Christian cell phone company in America. It's the one I use. It's called Patriot Mobile. They have the same nationwide coverage, a performance guarantee. They love America like you do. They've donated millions of dollars to the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and other causes like the sanctity of life. Keep your old number, keep your old phone, or get an upgrade, but switch today. 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That's 972-728-7468, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom.
Oh, Rainsford, you'll find this game worth playing. When the next ship arrives, we'll have gorgeous sport together.
You murdering rat, I'm a hunter, not an assassin.
Come, Rainsford, say you will hunt with me.
Hunt men?
Say you will hunt with me!
No? What do you think I am?
One, I fear, who dare not follow his own convictions to their logical conclusion. I'm afraid in this instance, Mr. Rainsford, you may have to follow them.
So it's not an invitation, it is a compulsion. He must run and become the hunted if he is to save Eve. That is the second half of the movie. It's only about 70 minutes long. It's a corker of a film. And then we have the denouement. Zaroff thinks that he's killed Rainsford, but in fact, he only shot one of his giant hunting hounds. And just like Sherlock Holmes came back from the Rickenbach Falls, so Rainsford comes back to the Count's castle.
My dear Rainsford, I congratulate you. You have beaten me.
Not yet.
Not yet. And I think this is why this is so much fun. We had a Vulcan mind meld, Chris. The end of the movie, the hero comes back. There's a big fight, knives, arrows, you name it. And then he's about to fire the Tatar hunting bow to Eve and Rainsford as they're escaping on his launch. And he's standing at the window. And I've got the still because it so grabbed me. This last shot of the movie is he can't fire the bow. And then Count Zaroff just falls out of the window to be eaten by his own hunting hounds. Just the composition of that shot, Chris. I mean, this is the kind of cinematography we'd expect in the 60s, the 70s, or one of, you know, Spielberg's Polish cinematographers. This is 1932, Chris.
Yeah, you know, they really, like I said, they put a lot of effort into this picture. They knew what they were doing. They hired the best people. And there is something, I think that people will find maybe the dialogue a little bit corny, maybe. You know, but I really like it. And I'll tell you why I like it. the hero is like, he's so pure of heart that he does seem a little corny. He doesn't have the sophistication of somebody who can speak well. He doesn't use sarcasm. He just speaks very plainly. He says what he means. And I think that that is, it's so refreshing. It's something that we've totally lost from the culture. I think it's something that people would mock today. But I think that at that time, even at that time, I think people were being sarcastic. People were making jokes. There were moments, in fact, that I thought were actually quite sophisticated in terms of the humor, where Zaroff, when the hero would say something that Zaroff would think was ridiculous, he would mimic him and go, oh, duh, 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 right? And that's something we do even today, yeah. Right? And so we've all kind of become the villain in the way that we tease each other and we make fun. But we just don't have that kind of personality anymore, that pure of heart personality, because, you know, nobody wants to be corny anymore. And I think that's sad. I think that's something that's lost.
Yeah, he is an endearing hero. I just feel really bad in this fist fight at the end where that beautiful Luger gets dropped on the hard stone of the castle. I mean, really, a Luger?
I knew you were going to mention the Luger.
How can you do that? That's an OG Luger. Guys. All right, final thoughts. What have I got noted here? Yes, a huge success at the time. Not only would it influence so many more movies to come, it cost $210,000 to make. Let me repeat. That cost $210,000 to make and doubled its money, made $440,000 at the time. And the shooting schedule, Chris, was 3 weeks. This whole movie was filmed in 3 weeks. They had financial woes. They had to fire. There were 9 extra characters who were excised from the movie at the last moment. But still, absolute bloody classic. It is the most dangerous game. Read the book. Watch the movie. Check out the remakes. But now we must rate it out of 10. Chris, for a modern audience, is going to be a tough one for you out of 10. And for me, in the canon of all movies, what shall we rate it by? Shall we rate it by Tatar hunting bows or Lugans?
Yes. Oh, that's a tough one. Well, I think the Tatar hunting bow is very unique to this film. So let's do the Tatar hunting bow. It is a very tough film to rate. I don't think there are a lot of modern people who are going to really love this film. It is short enough that you can get through it without getting too bored, I would say.
It's an episode of Game of Thrones. Come on.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, you need to go back. You need to watch these classics. You need to watch the old Tarzan movies.
Yes.
You know, you've been insisting I watch those movies, so I've got those lined up on my desktop, ready to click. And so I've been trying to get to those. You know, there's these old films called the Thin Man films, which hopefully one day we'll get to on this show. I absolutely adore these films. You know, these films have so much to offer that when I started watching old films, I thought that, like I'm talking about this film, there's a lot of stuff in the film that has been overused over the decades, but there are so much that you haven't seen, that they've kind of forgotten. It's just been lost to time that you really can only get by going back and watching these old movies. So, look, it's not going to be the highest rated film just because I don't think modern audiences are going to understand it or like it as much, but I would love to give it a higher score, but I think I'm going to have to give it something like a 6. I don't think people are going to want to.
No, I think given modern proclivities, that's absolutely fair. Before I give you my rating, a couple of things I forgot. Apparently, the inventors of paintball in the 1980s, they invented paintball based upon this story of man hunting man, which is also interesting. And as well, I forgot to mention, it's smacked so often of the Johnny Weissmuller movies. So there's definitely a Tarzan angle there, and hopefully we'll get to review one of those one day. Okay, in the panoply, the canon of classic movies, Most Dangerous Game, I got to give it a 10 for its influence. I got to give it a 10. A 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. All right, buddy.
I'm happy with that. I'm very happy with that.
I pushed the envelope with my choice from the 1930s, but now it's your turn. What are we going to review next week?
Well, in fact, because you pushed the envelope, I thought we would get back to the sort of traditional fare that we started the show with. You know, we did Temple of Doom last week, and that's more sort of standard, yeah. What we do here. The 1980s is sort of our bread and butter here. So I thought, and you might not like this movie. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be happy with this choice. I honestly don't know. But it's a film that I think just needs to be covered. I'm kind of into sequels now. So I thought we'd do Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Is that the one with Brigitte Nielsen? I think it is.
I believe so. And he's got the iconic lion jacket.
Yeah. No, great choice. Love it. Great soundtrack.
That was hugely influential, that movie.
Yeah, totally. All right. Beverly Hills Cop 2. All right. In the meantime, make sure you are following this man on his Mr. Reagan channels. He's dropping so much amazing content. You will not regret it. Absolutely free on YouTube. And the Alpha Critic. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Reagan USA. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, People pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
Mike Johnson's face, sitting behind that man. I didn't watch the State of the Union. I had something much better to do. I was at the movies with my son. But of course, we have to discuss it. We're going to be sharing with you the most important parts of it. I have my disagreements with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, good afternoon. Happy Friday. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Especially her behavior in supporting Kevin McCarthy. But she did something right last night. First, she rolled up to the State of the Union in a red MAGA hat. And then think about this. This kind of tells you the mental decrepitude of Joe Biden. Hey, Jeff, do you think Joe Biden knows who MTG is, who Marjorie Taylor Greene is?
Maybe, right? Yeah.
But you're rolling in 20 minutes late to the State of the Union, and you see a woman who's clearly on the floor of Congress, so that means they're a congresswoman or senator, and she's got a red Trump hat on, and he actually shakes her hand and then takes something from her. Isn't that weird, Jeff? I mean, of all the people you probably shouldn't be hanging out with and taking stuff from, it's the person wearing the red MAGA hat from the other team.
If there's someone that's going to set you up in that room last night, she's like the top three or four people that are going to do
Bingo.
That.
Bingo. So she, you can see the footage of him arriving late and then, you know, all the bloody stupid greeting and meeting and like they've never seen Biden before and Chuck Schumer grinning like the Cheshire Cat. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene gives him a pin, a badge. With what? With the name of Laken Riley, the 22-year-old nursing student who was brutally murdered, her skull caved in by a Venezuelan illegal who was paroled into America by Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security. Paroled into America and then arrested multiple occasions and released from the holding cells in New York by Alvin Bragg after he endangered a minor and then went on to kill Laken Riley. So halfway through the speech, a speech in which Biden didn't mention anything that really mattered and lied through his teeth, Marjorie Taylor Greene decides to heckle him and say her name to force him to recognize Laken Riley's name. And he has the badge in his hand that she just gave him with her name, and he can't even say it correctly. Who's Laken Riley? Who's Laken Riley? You, this is your field, right?
He's a college football coach for USC.
Okay, thank you. Play this again and listen to how he gets the name wrong twice. Then what he says about who killed Laken Riley, and then what he says after that about a word that was banned by the left, and the word is illegals. Let's just play that cut again. Please, Eric.
Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get
across. Stop it. Just shut him up. Eric, he said there, Laken Riley twice. Mm-hmm. He said, killed by an illegal. We're not allowed to say that. What is it? What is the latest term they have?
As Pelosi lectured on news coverage afterwards, undocumented migrants.
Undocumented migrants. And then he says, what about the thousands killed by illegals? What is going on with his brain at that point, Eric?
Even more so than that is something that the radio listeners can't see. When he says, to the parents of Laken Riley, my heart goes out to you, he's looking up at the gallery. Who's he looking at? They weren't there that night.
Yeah, they were invited by a member of Congress, and they didn't attend, which is absolutely expected, given the grief is so fresh for that family. And then how about this? How about this, dear listeners? How perverse. It's really quite evil, really, if you think about it. He says, I can relate. What do you mean you can relate? Because you've lost children? Your first wife was killed in a car crash with her children. Okay. That's a tragic event. And then your other family, Beau Biden, dies of brain cancer as a you know, an adult. What the hell has that got to do with a beautiful young woman murdered by an illegal alien? I can relate. What do you mean you can relate? A traffic accident and cancer. What has that got to do with your policy of letting millions of illegals into America? Absolutely nothing. But you're prepared to exploit the death of your children under accidental circumstances and as a result of cancer with the death of a woman who died because of you. Let us be clear here. Your government used the parole system, which has only ever been used in very special extenuating circumstances. When a foreigner needs to come here to testify as a witness in federal court, or to get some exceptional medical treatment not available anywhere else in the world, they are given temporary access to U.S. territory under the parole system. This isn't prison parole. This is, you know, Department of Homeland Security and the State Department. Your regime has used the parole to provide legal cover for millions of illegals in this country. And your Democrat colleagues in New York released Jose Ibarra after multiple crimes committed by a man who was paroled into America by your Department of Homeland Security, and then he brutally murdered Laken Riley. So much so, her skull was caved in to the point at which she couldn't be recognized. But you can relate. What are the stakes? There are no greater stakes. The future of the Republic is on the line. Because we are run by people who hate our country and don't care how many people die at the hands of illegals, fentanyl overdoses, or war. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Subscribe to the podcast. Never miss the third hour of the show. Do leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And if you want America to have borders again, if you want Americans to be safe, fly the I Stand with 45 flag. All your America First gear at sebgorkastore.com, sebgorkastore.com, including all of my books. And please support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.